Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Thanks for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast, a special midweek edition, as I am Terry Foyt, joined by Bates Lacrosse coach Peter Lasagna, Coach Atsap, as he is known to our loyal Inside Lacrosse readers who turn to the back page of the magazine every month when it arrives in your mailbox. And Coach Lasagna, we are talking to you today on about 36 hours rest from your 12-8 victory over previously number one Tufts in Boston on Wednesday night. Had an opportunity to watch a good portion of the fourth quarter, and I think the thing that jumps out to me the most is in your post-game release, you said, this is the biggest win in your time at Bates. I suppose to start, how did you come to that conclusion? What is the context for that comment?
Well, it's funny, you know, after I had given that quote, I thought, you know, it was pretty darn important in 2005 when we won a NESCAC playoff game that allowed us to advance to the NESCAC Final Four. So I stepped back from that a little bit, but I'll defend it. We've never beaten the number one team in the country before, and they were the defending national champions. They are the team that all of us in Division III measure ourselves against. They've been the best program, you know, or right there for a really long time now, and so that's why it was so significant.
I want to start with your defensive performance, because when you talk about Tufts, frequently you start with their offensive performance. And I use this metaphor that I stole from Dennis Hopper's character in the movie Speed. And he's basically talking about the idea of defusing a bomb as being preventing a bomb from becoming. And I feel like that's what playing defense, particularly in lacrosse, is like. You are preventing... You spend your entire life trying to prevent, or spend your entire defensive existence trying to prevent the opposition from exploding, and you guys managed to do that for almost a half of the game, from the second quarter through the third quarter. And what's it like being a coach on the sidelines, seeing your team get stops at that level to the degree that you wonder how much longer can this go for? How much longer can this defensive success be sustained?
Well, that is a fabulous question, and particularly relevant when you're playing them, because what they do is you can occasionally, you know, stop the bleeding for at least a couple minutes. But what they do, and it's not just against us, though it happens against us with regularity, is nobody is capable of putting together those 6 and 7 goal runs. You know, you're in the game. You're, you know, for us, we like to play fast. And so you're sort of going punch for punch with them and looking at your assistants at the end of the quarter, at the half or whatever, and going, hey, we're in pretty good shape. Let's not change anything. And then, bam, in a minute and a half, they score 7 goals on you. And they take a, you know, competitive game to being a not competitive game. So I was never totally comfortable. I mean, I was impressed and happy. A lot of it was Joe Ferrier our goalie made some really, really critical saves in tight. Where Tufts is so dangerous. But you watch the whole game in its entirety, and we were on defensively. You know, Coach Mason and Coach Bell just did a fabulous job in terms of matchups and schemes and whatnot. And, you know, there are some times where you look as a coach and you just go, wow, you know, this may be the best team defense that we are capable of playing. And when we needed to rotate, we rotated. And when we needed to have a stick in a lane and just get a little piece of a ball so that it wasn't skipped through to one of their, you know, really, really dangerous shooters up top or backside, we got a piece. And then probably most importantly, or co-most importantly, is not only to get a stop, but get the ball up off the ground and not have it immediately check out of your stick, which Tufts is so good at, and then get the ball cleared. So it's not just stopping them. Their ride is just relentless, and where they really hurt us typically and where they hurt a lot of people is their ride, because they want to create those ball on the ground situations because they're so good at converting those to goals. And so we were both getting stops, and eventually in the first quarter we struggled a little bit, but eventually we were also then getting the ball cleared so that we could possess and we could have an opportunity to score goals ourselves. So, no, it was amazing. And when I finally got a chance to actually watch the whole game through, the team defense is absolutely what jumps out at you.
And, you know, I want to move on to a few more expansive questions about the game in general, but sticking with that run that, you know, in probably, you know, in your terms, jumps out maybe as having decided the game, you know, one thing that I'm interested in is, you know, so much of a team scoring drought, it can be attributed to well-played defense, but, you know, there's another side of the field as well, and that is, you know, Tufts' ability to execute offensively. And I'm curious, this is a general and a specific question. General in the sense that when you're the coach of the team that's playing good defense and implementing the scoring drought, how easy is it to sense that an opponent might be pressing and taking itself out of its own offensive game plan? And then was there an aspect of that that manifested itself on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, normally it's pretty easy to tell that. It's really difficult to tell that with Tufts. You know, I think, I mean, they turned the ball over a couple times late. But, you know, they also don't, you've heard Mike, if you've heard Coach Daly speak, you know, which he's had the opportunity to do a lot because they win a lot of national championships, is they don't really care about turnovers. And, you know, it's part of the way that they play. They play high risk, high reward, you know, volumes of shots, quality shots play. And so it's a little bit harder to tell with them. And I think, pardon me, what's most impressive about them when you play them is, you know, we've had opportunities where you're up four or five on them. And against a normal team, that is when you're going to see them press. But Mike and his staff have done such an amazing job with their kids in terms of committing to this style of play that when they're down five or six, it really doesn't change anything about how they play because they know they can score five or six so quickly and get back in the game and then beat you. So I didn't really sense any of that. You know, I think where you saw it more maybe on Tuesday night was we like to play fast as well, but you know, I'm only so stupid. When you continue to get outscored by Tufts, at some point you got to go, all right, well, maybe us both having 60 shots is better for them than it is for us. And so, we were going to be a little bit more, patient. If we had a great quick strike opportunity, we were absolutely going to push it. And we did actually scored a couple big goals that way. And we scored early offense in the fourth quarter, which was big for us when we answered. But sort of our game plan was to be a little bit more patient. And I think that's where you see it, or maybe where you saw it a little bit more Tuesday night. But again, that's their style of play anyway, defensively. They're going to come after you. They're going to double you. You know, they're going to try to put the ball on the ground. And, you know, I think the longer that we maintained that lead, they maybe got a little bit antsy on defense. But again, I've just seen it too many times. Where, you know, you're up with a significant margin and you're feeling pretty good, and then they just go on a 7 or 8 goal run. You know, so I didn't see it change them at all. I'm sure they fully expected on the sideline to just do what they've always, you know, what they do to everybody, which was go on big runs. And when they scored 3 in a row, maybe in the third, I think that was, you know, it's impossible not to think, oh, Jesus, you know, here we go again. But then we won a couple faceoffs, we got a couple stops, and we answered offensively, which was gigantic.
And I want to talk specifically about that answer, but I kind of want to provide a little bit of context first, and I think I need to apologize. I mistakenly referred to the game as having been played on Wednesday night, but yeah, Surely it was on Tuesday night. So, but you know, just kind of, so for fans that aren't, you know, totally familiar with the type of season your team has had so far, you come into this game 6-4, 3-4 in the league. It was on the back of two impressive margin victories over Bowdoin and Connecticut College leading up to it, so that it was a quick turnaround for a midweek game. It wasn't as if you had played the previous week, and it wasn't as if you had a week to prepare.
No.
So you know, when you examine this and then you've obviously made it very clear the reputation and perception of Tufts within your league. So all of that plays into that moment when what had previously been, I believe, an 8-3 lead turns into a 9-7 lead in the fourth quarter. And I guess the question that I have for you is, what was the difference between that being the moment when an underdog's opportunity for a win turns into a, we play really well for three quarters, but we just couldn't hold on, versus this is the biggest win in my time here, or at least the top two?
Well, good question. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, it comes down to players, and it comes down to players' belief and confidence and making plays. I also think certainly as you just sort of set up the question, you know, the fact that we went on runs against both of our previous opponents, you know, Connecticut College, we scored 13 straight goals. You know, Bowdoin, we had a couple nice explosions as well. So that's the most recent experience of our kids, right? So they, you know, and again, against Conn, we were down 7-3 against Conn, pretty darn quickly. You know, again, on the road against a really quality NESCAC opponent. So we had, I guess the first part of the answer is we had just had similar experiences. So yes, this was different because it was Tufts and all that that means. But since the young men had just enjoyed success scoring quickly and often in those kind of situations, that's probably what they were drawing upon mentally. And that's our style, you know, which we altered a little bit for this game, pardon me, but that is our style. So then the most important piece is you have to have players who are capable of making those plays. And the people that scored those goals in crunch time were Jack Strain and Jack Allard and Charlie Fay. And those guys have been scoring big goals for us, you know, in big spots. In Jack Strain's case, for this is his fourth year, and Jack Allard's his third, and Charlie, it's his second. So, you know, again, don't make it more complicated than it is, and give really good players opportunities to make plays, and they did. And, you know, I mean, again, if you have shooters who can deliver, I mean, the 12th goal, I think Jack Strain scored the 11th. I can't swear to that. But again, you know, the best shooters on our team were taking those shots and made really, really good shots. And the 12th goal, I believe it was, Stefano Stadlinger, a defender for us, is handling the ball in the clear. Not exactly sure where to go. Doesn't want to get pressured and turn it over, and throws a 40 or 50 yard pass, just drops it in perfectly, a ball that Aaron Rodgers would have been envious of. And Jack Allard, with a Tufts defenseman draped all over him, somehow makes the catch at full speed, somehow survives the checks of the Tufts defender, and then on the run puts in just a ridiculous shot. You know, so again, you have confident guys who can make those kind of plays. That's how you win that game.
I had an opportunity to watch the celebration on the field, just through the web stream, and it looked like one of those moments that, you know, that's why you play the game. You savor being a part of that. And I want to pull back the lens a little bit, and, you know, just the context, for this podcast at least is, you know, I spoke with, BU coach Ryan Poley, coming off of their win over Bucknell. They were 6-2 at the time. You know, they've subsequently lost 3 games. I just spoke with, Nick Myers earlier this week. They were coming off of a really significant win over Johns Hopkins, in their Big Ten home debut as a men's lacrosse program. And I'm not asking you what the model of success is as it relates to being able to stay focused as a group and turn your attention quickly toward Middlebury, but what is the plan? Because I know that you're a guy who likes to put together these types of plans. So what are the decision-making processes that you think are going to position you best to be able to play as well as you can hope against Middlebury on Saturday?
Yes. Well, just to sound like the greatest coaching cliche you could ever have answering this question at this moment, our plan is going to remain what our plan has been, which is to focus on the immediate and focus on this practice and this drill. You know, a lot of people wanted to obviously reach out and talk about sort of what we did and how we did it and all that. And I would really say that the answer is that we just committed, since actually coming off of a really dispiriting and disappointing loss at home to Hamilton a couple weeks ago, you know, we just said we're going to make practice as intense and competitive as we possibly can so that the games are easier rather than the other way around. You know, the NESCAC is just brutally competitive. And if you're not practicing at maximum velocity and competitiveness level, you get into an NESCAC game and it's different, you know, and you tend to get tight. And so we're going to continue to do that. And I mean, we had a 2-hour practice, the night before Tufts, where we finished practice. You know, we like to finish practice with games to one, and we played a game to one at the end of practice, you know, that went on and on and on and on because guys were really competing and goalies were making saves. People were playing incredibly competitively. And you know, part of me is going, you know, maybe I should stop this. We need to save our legs for tomorrow. And then the other part of my brain just went, no, this is exactly how we're going to have to compete tomorrow to have any chance against Tufts. So I let them play it out. So that will continue to be our philosophy and our approach. And, you know, if we can get 4 inches of snow cleared off of our field today, hopefully we'll be able to get outside and have another really competitive practice.
Did it snow? Has it snowed, like recently?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Terry. We were the weathermen who have been right maybe once this winter, called for a trace of snow, and I'm looking at a good, healthy, heavy 4 inches of snow on the ground.
Wow. I don't know how you do it, my man.
Well, Peter Lasagna, it has been a crazy season in D3, and certainly Bates' win over Tufts is underscoring that in a considerable way here as we transition into mid-April. We really appreciate your time. Congratulations again on the victory. Good luck against Middlebury, and we hope to speak with you again soon. And as always, we will be reading you on the back page of Inside Lacrosse. Until next time, thanks for checking out the Inside Lacrosse podcast.
Inside Lacrosse podcast.